The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the due south wall of our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our very own bedroom is my lovely and talented co-host slash wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If I sound especially sultry today, it's because I did too much comedy last week. I was on the road. Yeah, a little Mark Norman impersonation there for you. I did too much of it last week because I was on the road for a very long time and I lost my voice. That's it. But you backseaters, you were tyrants. You mm-hmm. really need this.
They demanded an episode.
They demanded an episode. Speaking of backseaters, somebody left us a nice review. Wherever you listen to our podcast, whether it be Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you may consume our podcast, if you could take the time, maybe even right now, that'd be so swell.
Guys, just everybody pause for a sec.
Just pause for a second. Or you can do it while you're listening, because let's be honest, up front, we just do a lot of business. So if you could leave a review of our podcast, we would appreciate that so much. And this is a new one that we just got that Mel is going to read for us sip some tea.
This is from Tucker B, and the title is My Favorite. Today when all my podcasts loaded with new content, I found myself scrolling to this one and choosing it over everything, mm-hmm. including The Daily and Dax Shepard.
Take that, Dax. Take that.
Yeah. I love Dustin's comedy and started listening because of that. But what I love about this show is that it's a slight twist on the stand-up version of Dustin's humor. Mm-hmm. Less polished, but still so funny. Mm-hmm. There's an honesty in the banter with Melissa, and it's truly such a sweet and special little slice of life with them. Aww. They aren't trying to be anyone but themselves, and it's so refreshing. Love you guys and cheering you on. Thank you, Tucker.
Oh, that's really nice, Tucker. Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
You're incorrect. Everything about that I present.
It's a facade.
Everything about my life is me trying to be someone other than I actually am. But that's not true. That's really nice. Thanks so much for leaving that. I really mm-hmm. appreciate that. You know, we're coming for you, Dak. Just kidding. We have no chance.
I thought it was Dax.
Dax. Dak is Dak Prescott, the Prescott. You guys,
is that a sports guy?
He is the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And okay. my brain is scrambled eggs because I did too much road time.
Not enough sleep.
I got home yesterday and we spent some time together. And then we had some nice conversation last night while I was waking up with nightmares. this is how you know I'm committed to constantly teasing you. I woke you up. I'll give the full thing of what happened last night. I lay Claire down and I decide just to lay next to her on the hardwood floor, on these new hardwood floors.
Yeah, they aren't hardwood though, but
you know, the
plank vinyl.
Yeah, exactly. such an upgrade. of what we had before.
So much better.
So I wake up about 45 minutes later. I remember I come into the living room. I think I fell asleep on the couch for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I said, like, I'm going to go to bed. And then I teased you because it was like 10:30. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, don't be staying up late when you don't have to, because you have me that usually when you stay up late, it's me that kept you up late.
Right.
But you were watching YouTube videos of pizza making, right? What were you, right? That's what I gave.
Mel's Pizza Kitchen.
MPK. MPK made.
Is three tries in.
So we got this a while. This was like, this is a money splurge for us. Is a while back, you go, I've been thinking about how I would love to have one. What do they call them?
Someday I'm going to have a pizza oven.
Pizza oven. And I bought it right then. I just go, let's get on Amazon.
We were in LA for the book launch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, someday, like for the grandkids, I'm going to. We were actually at the Comedy Store when you bought it, which was
hilarious.
Funny. Yeah. But
on a night I was losing money.
Yeah. So sure enough, here shows up this pizza oven like as our floors are getting done.
Right, right.
And now I'm like, well, the first pizza I make is going to be very expensive, so I have to keep making more pizzas to justify
this
pizza oven.
The first one you do, you invite a bunch of people over.
Well, that was to make me use it.
Right, right. And we had some friends that were leaving.
And I gave myself a deadline. And
yeah.
Yeah, and there were too many teenagers that were hungry, mm-hmm. and I bailed and just put the pizzas in the oven because I know how to make pizzas in the oven.
Sure.
And there's like this like flour that burns, and you have to get the burning, it's very hot.
Right, right.
And I'm still figuring out how to get the dough to not burn too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, I got to get a spatula that rotates or a pan or something.
Right,
because I want to do it again next weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching pizza making videos.
Hilarious.
At 10:30.
Well, here's how good it was. You made me a dairy-free option, of which it was so good. But the pizza was so good. I ate a couple dairy ones. And I paid the price. I'm paying the price for that. I'm currently.
I gave you a whole dairy-free mini pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
And you finished that?
I did finish that. I mean, let's not get crazy. It wasn't like a...
No, they're mini.
Like, it was like four small slices. Like let's not get
inches.
Crazy. Yeah. It was not... You ate a whole pizza by your fat self.
I definitely had a third piece while we were all cleaning up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like standing.
You were eating the Krusties. You were cleaning out of the stove. So I ate a cheese one, was an enormous mistake. I also think that yesterday, I mean, this sounds so bougie, but I think yesterday the egg frittata that they were serving in the Delta Lounge in Salt Lake, now that I think about it, may have had some feta in it.
Yeah. And you think like, oh, feta's not that bad for you, but
it is.
It's still dairy.
If you have an intolerance to that, which I do, it's poor. But anyways, it was it was very good. But that's what I teased you, that I was like, you're watching... you don't have to stay up late. You could be going to bed with me right now.
I was trying to order a spatula so I can try and make them next weekend.
Next thing I know, you kind of wake me up when you're coming into bed. It's almost midnight. And then
at 12:20.
And then I wake up with nightmares and kind of wake you up. I wake you up and then I'm trying to, and you like, you do what you do when you can tell that I'm in some amount of distress in the middle of the night. You put one hand on me and go, are you okay? And I go, yeah. And then I don't hear anything else from you.
What, do you need a counseling session?
There's no, I touched you, actually, I think before you.
No, yeah. No, you were like trembling.
Listen, brains are
a
good and bad friend. And then I kind of come to and I go, and then I don't remember exactly what I said, but I go, after all that, I did see you stay up late and you're like, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, you're like, you're like, I was depositing checks. I was like, you were watching pizza YouTube.
I did both.
You were watching pizza YouTube videos.
It is 10:20 and I've already gotten our dryer fixed today. Mm-hmm. And I spent the whole weekend putting the clothes on the clothesline.
Uh-huh. Because we have a broken dryer.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But I did like 5 loads of laundry.
And preps for grandma's coming this week. We got a lot going on. So on today's pod, everybody, we're going to do some week recap. Really, the last 2 weeks, because this is, we're caught back up with you in real time. We are recording this on Tuesday, September 6th right now. Got a quick update from Joel's first homecoming. I mentioned that I'm sick already, so we don't need to go into that. I'm not even sick. I'm not going to classify this as a sickness because I know what it is. I had some dairy yesterday, and then I've lost my voice because I did 6 hours of stand-up comedy on stage last week, at least. I think more.
And you also lost sleep.
Yeah, plus the meet and greets, you know, yeah. Which I love meet and greets with people after shows. So, and Courtney, a patron, was at the Thursday show in Charlotte.
Awesome.
How did that happen, Melissa?
Well, because our Patreon has tiers and levels where mm-hmm. you can do
tell them all about it while I sip this tea.
Sometimes in the comedy club hallway. Sometimes in the green room.
That's good audio right there.
Sorry. Yeah, that's good. You can get behind the scenes meet and greets on our Patreon. You can also get access to our monthly Zoom hangs. Our next one is Sunday, September 11th.
This coming Sunday?
Yep.
Oh, this is going to be one of the ones where we're both home.
Yeah, I just have to change our router before then.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Our last Patreon Zoom hang, I was on the road somewhere. Who knows where? And we could hear Claire yelling at you in the background.
Because I didn't mute.
You were on a huge delay. Zoom. Well, what happened was we were having Wi-Fi issues, and mm-hmm. you were so I really had to carry that whole Zoom because you were.
I was mute. Yeah,
you were
muted.
Like way behind. You
but
know,
but somehow you still heard Claire screaming.
But we heard that
clearly.
Yeah. No, it still kind of came in a little delayed, like old school internet. But it was pretty fun. We all shared a laugh.
Yeah.
Real behind the scenes stuff. That's what you get from being our Patreons.
Exactly. You get patrons. You get some merch, you get some merch discounts, you get the Nickerson Christmas card, which mm-hmm. is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you get early access to some media and some special announcements and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
So upcoming tour dates, as long as we're doing the promo here, everybody. Thank you to everyone that came out of these last week's shows. We had in Seattle and Spokane. Those were incredible shows. The mm-hmm. 4 shows in Seattle all sold out. Spokane was packed as well. And great. Always, we'll talk a little bit about Seattle here in a bit, you know, because we have stories to tell from that. But the shows themselves were fantastic there at Hereafter. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to be back next year in Seattle. And then Spokane at Spokane Comedy Club was really, really great. Samantha, I think was the name. Or Jay, something she brought. Her name
Sam.
Is her Sam. Her name is different than her Instagram handle. That's why I was getting confused. So she was the one who brought us granola to the show.
Homemade granola,
which mm-hmm. was fantastic. Her parents were at a show in Indy, which is fun.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think she bought her the tickets, which is nice. So really fun. And then this last week of shows, which was just like a whirlwind of shows. I did a private gig in Goshen, Indiana, which was Amish country and stuff. That was the joke I made. I was like, I drove into town and I saw like old diners. I was like, oh my gosh, I just drove back 60 years in time. And then I saw like Amish carts, and I was like, drove back 160 years in time. This where am I in Goshen, Indiana? So, but then we went to Raleigh, which was great. Really fun. Best turnout we've ever had in Raleigh there. Charlotte was incredible. First time there at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. Saw the Keselowskis, which was mm-hmm. very fun, and had dinner with them. All the shows were great. You know, and then, yeah, when we went, it went from Goshen to Charlotte to Raleigh to Indy to Kansas City. All of them were great. Really, really fun. I love that upper room at Helium in Indy. We joked that, you know, I'm trying to, when I was doing the pitch for my sign up for my email list, I was like, okay, if you guys, enough of you guys sign up, then maybe we'll get promoted to downstairs next year. So,
awesome.
But upcoming dates that we have ready, September 16th, we're in Atlanta, September 17th, 2 shows in Minneapolis. First show sold out. Second show tickets are moving fast. So come to that. And then the 18th in Portland, the 23rd, going back to Liberty University at Lynchburg, the 25th, Louisville, Kentucky, the 29th, Houston, October. You should have done these dates. Foggy brain.
September
30th and October 1st, Cap City Comedy Club in Austin. I think we're going to add shows to that. The guy emailed me today. We're going to at a second show. He was like, we should have second shows on both nights.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Based on my current voice right now, being that the next day is October 2nd and I'm going to be recording at the Addison Improv in Dallas, I might just sustain my voice a little bit more as opposed to adding shows. So,
right.
So check that out. That's a huge one, everybody. October 2nd. That's officially on sale.
Special filming.
Mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas at the Addison Improv. October 14th and 15th, Mark Ridley's Comedy Club in Royal Oak. October 19th, Helium Comedy Club in Philly, and then we're taking a break from headlining for a while. We'll start up a big tour again, well, at least some dates in the new year, and one of those is on sale right now, the one that got moved, the Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis, Missouri. So, whoa,
Woo.
Steven, if you guys probably don't know this on your end of things, but Steven just had to do a real hack job of an edit, get me sounding somewhat detail-oriented there, because while I do feel okay physically, details are a bit on the blurry side for me. I'm excited to sign some emails and contracts after I do. That's what I have to do today while you're at the whatever you are with at Gloria. Man, I feel it. Do you feel it? Do you feel me rambling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. It's okay.
It's okay. anyways.
It's your podcast.
Thanks for coming out to shows, everybody. I'm going to give you a sincere moment right here. No, it is our podcast. This is not my podcast. Well. This is the first time in our career we've felt very, very tangible momentum. You guys are coming out to shows. You're inviting friends. You're packing things. We're adding shows. You're returning for multiple shows. I'm doing my best to give the best live show I can. And I love talking to you guys and meeting you all after shows. Whatever fun moments happen there. I love your cities. I love it all. It means the world to me so much that you guys would come out and give your hard-earned money. Or maybe it's nepotism. Maybe you're born into money. I don't know. But either way, you're still giving it to us. And supporting local businesses and supporting us. And yeah, means a lot to us. So thank you so much, everybody. I had a guy come up to me this week and told me that he got the book from the library, which is funny because you're like,
because you said, thanks for buying the book.
Yes. And he goes, I got it from the library. And you're like, I mean, I do respect the hustle.
And you go, well, I can't give you an autograph.
No, I can't sign library. That's hilarious. That's very, very funny.
But not everybody wants that.
Hey, we sell those books at the live show. We, you know, requirements for live shows. If you have the book, bring them. We'll sign them. Also wear flannel. It is funny when people wear flannels. I'm not big enough now. I'm getting to the point now where I'm assuming they did it on purpose.
It was intentional.
But I don't always know. Because like there was the Saturday late show in Indy was the one that had the least amount of people that knew who I was. Because it's the last show added.
Yeah.
And so there was one girl who was like, oh, cool flannels. You wore a flannel. And she's like, thanks. I like yours too. And you're like, oh, you don't get that this is a thing. You didn't.
Fantastic. Yeah, you just can't assume anything.
No.
You can't assume that they've ever watched your special or listened to the pod or read the
book. Anybody who's seen me in a meet and greet, they always go, hey, did you like the show? And, you know, thanks for coming out. And I go, how'd you hear about it? A lot of you guys now, especially you backseaters, they're like, we're fans. We like you. It's like, you know.
Yeah, we follow you on all the things.
Like, to compare myself to Head in the Heart, but this is just the last concert that we went to. Like, if I went to Head in the Heart backstage or I met them and they were like, how'd you hear about the show? They'd be like, they'd be like, I'm a fan.
Like, I constantly stream your album. Yeah. Yeah.
Melissa, what was Seattle like for you?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Virginia don't sing like it used to.
Nope.
Speaking of Head in the Heart, this is a road song that I've been relating to a lot. You know, they're from Virginia. At least the lyricist is in the, you know, he's saying that's where he's from. And he talks about, you know, this used to be a place I love. And now I come here and it's just another town. That is a little bit, even though I am like, it's different when there are things you really latch on to, obviously family and relationships and sports,
places.
Like places and stuff like that and memories. But there is a sense of it where I'm just like, this is just another road town. Where's the airport? Where's my hotel?
Well, you know? And like the business. You know, like the restaurants and stuff, like they turn over. You know, we've been out of Seattle for 11 years now. So you're like, oh, is that place still here? You know, like you do a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, our best story on that is so our wedding night, this is not going where you think it's going. I'm talking to the general listeners. I'm not here to talk about the details of our wedding night. We stayed at a hotel downtown. I don't even remember what hotel it was. A Renaissance, maybe?
A Renaissance.
Yeah. And, you know, we were babies, 19 and 20.
Yes. Oh, we thought of this while we were driving around.
And we had totally forgotten about this, that we stayed there. And then like 7 years later, we stayed there.
Yeah.
So when we stayed there, the year would have been 2004.
Yes.
2004. Mm-hmm. We were checking in at the desk.
Yeah.
And they go like, it would have been the next day.
I remember this. We were sober.
legally, we had to be.
Yeah, I know. They were like, would you like a wake-up call?
Well, first...
We weren't
leaving the next day. We had, after the wedding night, we had a day off in Seattle, but then we were leaving super early the next day. And they asked, like, do you want a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Like, and they had a service where you could get, like, coffee and stuff.
On a tray. With a newspaper.
Because this was the early 2000s.
Yes.
And
the
we
height
were,
of luxury.
And we were babies. We weren't drinking black coffee at the time.
No.
Mm-mm. So we got...
We got hot chocolate. We woke up at like 3 a.m. to a tray of hot chocolate to fly to Cancun.
Just the littlest babies in the world. Like, you can't be getting married and flying internationally if you wake up to a tray of hot chocolate. I'll tell you what we didn't do. Read that paper.
Do you remember, too, you were super anxious because... We had to print our boarding passes, our standby tickets.
Yes, right.
And so the business center printer was down.
Right.
And this is like pre-digital stuff. Right, so we went to our friend's house.
What?
We went to Kara's house to print our standby passes.
Oh my gosh.
To get on that flight.
I forgot about that.
I know.
That's hilarious. We were babies, but my dad worked for Alaska Airlines for 35 years and so has always had these incredible deals.
Yeah.
Like I remember
our 5 days
in Cancun or whatever, you know, was like $1,500. It was crazy cheap.
That's how he would always go.
Yeah. And that's how we
like tropical vacations.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's how we did. So we're flying standby and it was great. My dad paid for it. It was very generous. And, but yeah, I was very, very anxious. Now we went back to that hotel like 7 years later.
Yeah.
And we're like, can we get the service with a chocolate?
Coffee.
We're going to get the coffee. And they just looked at us like,
call.
What? Like, They didn't even say we don't do that anymore. It was like, because there was no way that person worked there 7 years ago.
Yeah.
People, hotel staff does not say keep that job forever. They're like,
hotels have changed.
Yeah. Well, that's what that like, that it's like every time we go. But there were a lot of, we went to that Thai place in Queen Anne we like a lot. Oropin.
Yes. Yeah. There were still... Some things have changed, but yeah, we went to a Thai restaurant we used to go to in Queen Anne. Went to Golden Gardens, watched the sunset. Mm-hmm.
I watched a guy in a kayak with his dog in it while he was smoking a joint, and I was like, Seattle, baby, on brand. Seattle.
The dog just sat in the kayak.
Right. I didn't.
Barking at other dogs on shore.
I did an Instagram story about this, and so forgive me for repeating content here, but Seattle in the summer is magical. Really, the Northwest in general. Mm-hmm. I was texting Kelsey about this. Kelsey Cook.
Yeah, she
lives in Spokane. She's from Spokane. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, she moved back there.
Yeah.
Because it's never mattered less where you live in comedy, right? I was texting her and she was like, oh, I'm home these like three. She headlined there last week and she was home this week. She's home this upcoming weekend because Taylor's there. And I was like, that's of the times to be in Spokane, that is it. It is magical. I joked with the KC fans on Sunday. I have a bit right now about, you know, being a millennial, can't afford a home and stuff. They laugh along.
Yeah.
But in KC, they're like, I mean, no, it's actually pretty reasonable here.
Right.
That's why. And then I was kind of mocking them. I was like, well, enjoy your winter.
Yeah. Well, because like California raised the housing prices like in Texas and Arizona and Tennessee.
I don't know that we touched Kansas City. I don't know that we got that to the middle. I'm sure it went up. Everything went up.
Yeah.
And KC's a cool town, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. St. Louis is great, too. I drove through St. Louis. Oh, yeah. I'll tell that story.
Yeah.
Indy's great.
Talk more about Seattle or no?
Oh, yeah. It's keep going about Seattle. You got to keep us in check here.
We also went to Alki, which was gorgeous.
Oh, that's what I was saying. It was like magical. So nice. Yeah.
It was so nice. It was a Thursday afternoon. There was a Mariners game going on. We forgot the Seattle Bridge is gone now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were like, I've never been at this part of the port. Like,
yeah, you have to. It's
to
a long,
go from West Seattle to downtown.
It's
Seattle.
A long drive. I can see why it's more isolated because West Seattle was sleepy.
Yeah, there was a... The weekend was playing. That's why we got stuck in traffic for that.
Yeah. At CenturyLink or whatever that stadium's called right now.
Yeah. And I actually hadn't spent that much time in Belltown. So,
no, you don't really go to Belltown a lot when you're a local.
No.
You know,
but it's right by Pike Place. Oh, we went to the Nike store.
Mm hmm.
Yep.
Waiting in line.
I know.
Because we had some downtime.
But, anyways, it was a great time.
Super fun. Thank you, Northwest folks, for coming out. Yeah, we really we really enjoyed it. Every time I go back to Seattle, I go, I need it a year. I need a break.
So we saw friends, we saw family. And then when you went to Spokane, I went to my high school reunion.
Yeah, in a romper that I was not happy about.
Well, I wore it to Head in the Heart.
Yeah.
And then I was out. and just repacked it.
Yeah, not happy about this. Mm-hmm. Still pretty irate, actually.
Curious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened with my high school experience was I graduated, and then the day I turned 18, which was like a week after graduation, the next day my family all moved to California. So I spent my senior year hanging out with you and my mom and sisters.
Did you go to Lancaster? You drove down with them to Lancaster, but weren't you back up? Because you had to move in.
Well, I spent like a couple weeks there, and then I went back to Seattle Pacific early to run. Mm-hmm. So I was back up in August. Mm-hmm. So it was really just like 4 or 5 weeks that I spent in Lancaster. But I never really went back to my like Tacoma, you know, Federal Way like too much.
Right.
Like
right.
Occasionally I would pop in for like a birthday or a shower, a baby shower or bridal shower. But I wasn't
out of the way.
I wasn't home every Christmas or, you know, so.
Right.
So a lot of those people I hadn't seen in literally 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was just an afternoon at a brewery. It was super chill.
Yeah.
Probably like 100 people.
Yeah.
And we had like a 400 person class.
What do you think was the average amount of DUIs gotten that night? What was the average blood alcohol limit level? People getting loose, baby.
It was like probably like 10 people that were gone.
From,
you know,
what you have told me is that there will be people who are at that party that it will be easier for them to remember high school than to remember their 20 year high school reunion.
Yeah, some people are not going to remember that day.
They're like, that happened? I mean, yeah, it happened. Your insides remember it. You have a headache to remind you of that.
But it was wild.
I sent, there's a guy, Chris, he was an old coworker with me I showed you this picture for my first job was at AMC Theaters. And he sent me this like, kind of like collage picture of some scrapbook thing that he had found that our
coworkers.
Yeah, that some coworkers had made or whatever. And it was like all like the young people that worked there and the managers and stuff like that. And there was like a pretty clear picture of me looking pretty young. I was 16, 17 at the time. And I messaged him back and I was like, oh my gosh, we look more like the managers in those pictures now than we do our younger selves. Like there was our old manager, a guy, like he was this middle-aged dad named Tom. And he drove a minivan to the theater every day. And I remember thinking, he's like, well, that's the oldest human I've ever seen. I've never seen someone that old. And now I look at him in a picture, he's glassy, he's receding hairline. I was like, that's me. I am Tom. I have become Tom.
I am the movie theater manager.
Yeah. And still not a bad line of work. You know, he seems very happy. Tom was very happy at work.
That's awesome.
Could have been a murderer. I don't know what was going on outside of his life, but at work he was the diplomatic one that we had, you know.
I mean, he's managing young adults, you know, and
a
business.
He's managing that job. They nicknamed me Dustin Can I Go Home Early Nickerson because we would get cut for shifts a lot because we were in a dying industry. We were a sixth.
It was 2000.
2001, 2002. I graduated 2003. So
everyone was getting high quality TVs.
Were making bigger theaters.
Oh, okay.
We were AMC 6. We were a 6-screen movie theater.
Yeah.
So we were dying in real time.
And now they have like 20 and 30. Yeah.
And so they cut people a lot. And I would sense it. And I'd be like, can I go home early?
Sure.
Yeah. But overall, it was great that you can make it, right? I mean, it was very fortuitous.
It just totally worked out. Like, I was going to try and come to Seattle with you. And then the reunion was on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, they planned it.
The real question is,
after your shows were planned.
First off, will we go to mine next year? And then also, I mean, I'm going to have to wear a romper myself.
Okay.
I mean, if you're out romping around at your 20 year. Mm-hmm. Getting all these old flirts eyeing what you're bringing to the package. I'm going to have a billboard. I'm just going to carry around a big piece of, what's a little tag poster board.
Yeah.
With my credits on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear a shirt that has a blue verified check mark on it. So people know what's up.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say here. I did not go to my high school reunion to get accolades mm-hmm. or bring up some old flames. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was you had a glass of wine with a mom in Ohio, and you guys were talking when you guys were at the Nationals for kayaking.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, mm-hmm. you gotta flaunt what you got.
Yes. Two moms from the canoe team specifically said, show off your legs. But they were also...
I've taken Gloria off this team now.
Yeah. There's also there is an angle where you show up like with a coach purse and heels.
It's all something. Listen.
Makeup, you married a new stand-up, hair.
You married a stand-up comedian. There's, you had no money to flaunt.
They also,
they all were concerned when you told them you were going back to a hotel by the airport after.
I know. It is a straw Target purse. So they did want me to get a spray tan, which was... That made sense, but remembering Seattle, and they don't know Seattle, I was like the tannest person there.
Yeah.
Just by default of living in Southern California.
Yeah, you forget that because we're pretty pale, but when you go in back to the Northwest, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the tannest person you've ever seen.
They don't get the sun. So anyways, it was fun. It was fun to see some old folks.
Well, they all have young kids too, you know, which mm-hmm. is why, you know, you gave them all munchie mugs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I actually, a lot of our friends have younger kids because we were our first ones to have them.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. when I do see them, like we had lunch with your sister and mm-hmm. her brother-in-law and their young kids. And I was like, these are messy. I forget how messy toddlers are.
Oh, yeah, they had these like silicone placemats.
Yeah.
The sippy cup just went from table to floor, to floor, to floor.
This is why Munchie Mug exists.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys aren't familiar with Munchie Mug, it's the best spill-proof cup on the market.
That's right.
Whatever you got in your life that you're giving young kids that you don't want spilled, Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, grapes, oops, all Cheerios.
Frosted Cheerios,
the multigrain.
Ooh, the multigrain. The best.
You got to put those in there because you can't let those spill. You can't waste this. And if you do, you're eating it.
It's got that soft fabric
lid. Oh, it comes in a variety of colors. It's made right here in the United States of America in California. It's dishwasher safe. It's fantastic. And if you go to munchiemug.com and use promo code don't make me, that's all one word, no apostrophe, don't make me promo code, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. pretty good, especially under I'm in clouds.
The funniest thing about that meal was that my sister was feeding her 1-year-old these like itty bitty slices of strawberry,
mm-hmm.
like a strawberry cut into like 16.
Well, she brought them,
and before the pizza came, and it's all chaos, and you say, "Can I get some of those strawberries?" There's like three strawberries sliced into.
Can you get some of those strawberries? Those look good. Those look fresh. Who was I saying this to recently about how, you know, every once in a while as a comic, comics do lean pretty introverted.
Because you're writers.
Right. But we do know how to be funny. And mm-hmm. so every once in a while we just turn it on in a group setting.
You'll do it occasionally like in an elevator.
Yeah. I like the elevator challenge. I like to see, all right, like you got 4 floors. How many laughs can I get? You know, how many punchlines can I get in 4 floors? You know, and it's that's fun. That is a fun challenge. But really, a lot of time when I do it is at a table because sometimes I feel obligated to do it. But also I know you like it.
Yeah, I like it when you're engaged.
No, but more than engaged, you know, you turn it on.
You're lightening.
Yeah, you dance a little bit. Well, I
think you can find one friend and just
that's what I
yuck it up with them.
That's what I want to do. Usually
or with,
you.
Or with me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, do a little.
Yeah.
Give the group a little bit.
Give them a little something. Yeah, it's listen, it's what it is it's like crowd work where you go like, I can't sustain this though. I can't be funny an entire meal.
No.
Nor
but
do
you
I
have
want
tricks.
To.
You have tricks.
They're all. You just find out who in the group to make fun of. You make fun of your career level. You make fun of what you order because you always panic and you're like,
yeah,
I'll take the goulash. And you're like, what?
I had the two worst tacos in Tacoma. And everyone was like, how are your tacos? And I was like, terrible. I live in San Diego.
Yeah, quit selling me. That's what Paige and Brad, when we were in Charlotte, they're like, okay, so we got this like cool like brewery pub type situation with like a, you know, what do they call? I can't remember.
Gastro pub
type thing. And then we got tacos. And I was like, yeah, gastro. Guys, you don't come to Charlotte from, we're 15 minutes from the border. The answer
it's
is the no.
It's the best here. Yeah.
Yeah. Texas does its own good version of it, though, because Tex-Mex. It's different with Tex-Mex mm-hmm. and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. You know, cheese, queso.
Speaking of high school, our son went to his first homecoming this last week. And our son's life is his life. So more talking about this from our angle. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because we talked about how, like, dances have changed. And
so much.
SoCal dances are very casual because you got the little flower thing.
So he asked his date Wednesday. The dance was Saturday. And Mama Bear was like, we're going to order a corsage, but that's just to be safe. He only saw his date like once a day.
Right.
He couldn't ask her. Err on the side of caution and got one ordered because they have to make it and stuff. And then you have to pick it up. But she decided that was too formal. And so he didn't use it.
Yeah, it was very casual. I guess maybe it's just this particular dance on the dance theme.
Yeah, it really depends on your date too. And it's SoCal. Like when we got married.
Because we're not just SoCal. We're San Diego. San Diego is, as I say it in the hour right now, it's a city full of part-time lifeguards. It's a giant beach town.
And the West Coast is just so casual. Like, we got married in August, a night wedding, and
people wore flip-flops.
People were wearing Hawaiian shirts, flip-flops,
shorts. Melissa, keep in mind that a Hawaiian shirt is a redneck tuxedo. That's as nice as we get.
I mean, the surfer brand ones are like $65.
They're not
like
cheap. They're, some of the nice ones. Know? Those weren't who my family wore.
Or just like fleece. Like if you have like a North Face fleece and it's like $150 fleece, like you can just wear that anywhere.
Right,
in the Northwest
right. Or a vest.
Any occasion.
Yeah, Patagonia.
So we expected to see everything and we absolutely did as far as this dance goes. Like some kids were in shorts.
Wow. But some kids wore suits collared too. Shirt.
And then some people had, you know, boutonniere, corsage, matching vest, matching.
You know, the world you know and love.
Well,
we did some theme dances.
Like a unique look.
Well, there's different ones.
And it was also like 98 degrees.
Right.
We had a heat wave. So that was a lot. And it was just in the high school gym. So it wasn't formal.
Yeah.
In that sense.
And you said they don't really dance.
No, they just all have get their phones out. And they have like a light show. And then people will kind of do like a random thing that gets videoed.
Right, right.
So that was true for Joel.
Joel said he was really showcasing the standing backflip.
Yes. So apparently he landed the fifth one that he did in middle of a circle. And then he was doing, what's it called? Like when you're fighting on shoulders?
Oh, chicken fighting?
Chicken fighting, which you do in a pool.
Yeah.
But he was doing it in a gym.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and there's video of it.
They weren't just like crowd surfing. They were actually having chicken fights up there.
Yeah. Oh. Some of the guys. And then he and his date both wore cowboy hats.
This sounds really special for his date.
Well, I don't think she's really into dancing.
Yeah.
But neither is Joel.
No.
He really had no interest in going. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he did. So,
right.
Yeah, it was. And then they went to Denny's, which was great. A little post. The one place that's open at like 10:30 at night.
Right. What was your favorite outfit we ever wore to dances? Because there's our first one, which we all know you hated.
Yeah, that was more like traditional and formal. My favorite was definitely your senior year homecoming when we both wore thrifted outfits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you had like pink leisure pants and like a floral like 70s top. And it was like silkier, you know, rayon. And then I wore like a pink kimono with like wedges.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And that wasn't even a themed dance.
We just went in theme.
Well, we were also a few dances in at that point. You're like,
it gets pretty boring.
Yeah. So yeah. we'd already done your, you were in college at the time, right?
No,
if this was my senior year.
It Okay, you know what? We didn't. This was your junior year.
It was my junior year. Yeah.
No, it was
senior year. It was senior
you're right.
year.
You're right.
Yeah. So yeah. You came down from college. You
were yeah.
That's how much Melissa loved me and high school dances.
That's right. do you remember when guys started wearing like tennis shoes?
I do.
Baseball hats?
It was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
I bet you hated that.
No, I like anything that's outside the box.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But I wasn't a sneakerhead or, you know, neither were you. We were wearing like.
It's just funny. No, I'm just laughing because I've never heard you say sneakerhead before.
I don't know. So. Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
My voice has one email left, everybody. And so we're going to read this email and then we're going to get out of here. This is fittingly subject ER story, better late than never. We haven't gotten any of these in a while.
Okay.
Your ER stories are always welcome at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com, everybody. So this is from Blake.
Okay.
Hey, Justin and Melissa. As I write this email, my wife and I are still in Indy at a hotel after seeing you live. I promised I would tell you the story that I've been meaning to for months, and apparently all it took was my wife telling me I wouldn't and my desire to prove people wrong to do it. I'd be lying if I said that trait hadn't caused more than one fight in our relationship, but I digress. I remember this very vividly. Blake came up. Blake goes, listen to the pod. And he goes, I still have a great ER story to tell you. I was like, well, you can send it anytime. You know, send it now. And his wife was like, you won't. And here it is. Here we go. Ever since you did the series on ER stories, I've wanted to share about my time my brother went straight Hulk mode as a 5-year-old. We had been playing outside and came back in for a little while. Eventually, my brother wanted to go back outside and begged me to come with him. I wasn't feeling it, so I refused. He proceeded to throw a huge fit and go run outside. However, he missed the latch on the glass storm door and ran straight through the glass instead. In case you're wondering, those aren't made with safety glass.
Oh,
there were huge
gosh.
Shards of glass everywhere, and he cut the back of his hand wide open and had to be taken to the hospital for stitches. I can still imagine the screaming from them having to hold him down while they did the stitches, and he still has a scar on his hand to this day. Wow, this is not a funny story, Blake.
He's fine.
Yeah. Also, completely unrelated to the ER. Can you assure my wife that not all comedy rooms are as tight as the upper room in Indy? She was having some serious trigger moments to my days as a youth pastor and gathering parents in to defend why volunteers weren't actually indoctrinating their kids with, quote, woke theology. Anyways, I'm a huge fan and keep doing what you guys are doing. It was great to have the Last Supper with you. Thanks again. I made that joke that we were upstairs that it felt like it was like the Last Supper. This was the Last Supper comedy room because it was upstairs and hidden and everything. First off, Blake, that was not a funny story.
I guess it's funny because
it is funny now, but
they can talk about it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the holding down for the screams, that was a little much, Blake. But
and kudos for you for joining him in the ER.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
ERs are not fun places.
ERs are
to
not
be.
Fun.
No,
and,
they're traumatizing.
But I bet they do laugh about that now, you know, because it was a kind of a self-inflicted wound. Very relatable. Yes, second question. Not all comedy rooms are as tight as the upper room, Helium and Indy.
Which night? Or you don't know. Was it Friday night, Saturday night?
Couldn't tell
night?
You. Yeah. I did 3 shows there in Indy, and they all like... You know, they were all, the room seats 50, and we had 50 all 3 shows.
Sure.
And it was in there tight.
Okay. All right.
I have a very vivid memory of that. I had like a viral video. That's where I did the joke. I recorded the joke about the chip, you know, the chip, the little chip.
Mm-hmm.
And that
one
like got like 3 million views on TikTok. And it's just so funny because it's just this very random comedy room. But it was a good time. It was really fun. And, but it is like when you're in that room, you're just like, I joke about how you can't really be like too formal because they're like someone barely asked me for my tickets to get in here.
Right.
This is very off the beaten path.
It's like an AA meeting.
Exactly. There's no green room. There's no like anywhere. I have to hide in the bar downstairs, like, because I'm like, there's nowhere for me to be here. So it's an AA meeting. That is very funny. I would think that next time I come through, and it will be at least, if the trajectory goes in order, it'll go one nighter in the small room, weekend in the small room, one nighter in the big room, weekend in the, we'll be downstairs probably next time.
And then the theater.
Whoa, look at you. Look at you projecting, hoping. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and dealing with my sultry voice. Appreciate you guys so much. Have a great week.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast and Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Ibleen, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.